Joe Riccio for one of my favorite segments of the week called Shut Up and Eat. Joe is now with us on the line. And Joe, welcome to Downtown.
How we doing?
We're doing well. I'm excited to talk about what we emailed back and forth about, because for my day job, I teach creative writing, and people think that you have to be a genius, and my job is to demystify that by first proving I'm not a genius. And I think a lot of people have the same trepidation about cooking, especially haute cuisine or difficult recipes. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about how that's not exactly the case.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm a writer and a cook. So
I know. That's why I asked you that question.
Yeah, I cover all the bases, right?
Yep.
I definitely know it doesn't take a genius. Yeah, I mean, basically, so many people are afraid of the kitchen. It's really funny. Everything from, like, scrambling eggs to actually putting something complicated together by that, which is good for people that can cook, because everybody thinks you really did something magical and you really didn't do much work at all. But it also prevents people from getting in the kitchen when they should. So, really, the best thing to do is just kind of, you know, pick a style of cuisine that you enjoy, you know, eating in a restaurant, for instance. And then just learn all you can about it and start making it at home, you know, like, cook for yourself, cook for one other person. So, doesn't come out great, that's totally fine, you know, like, you keep going. Like, every time I make something for the first time, I usually make it, like, two more times in a row after, because I keep thinking about what I could have made better each time, you know?
Yeah. My wife and I were in Vietnam. We fell in love with pho, the national dish yep. of Vietnam, and she makes mm-hmm. tremendous pho. And it took her the second. It was good the first time. It was better the second time. It gets better every time. Now she's one of those people that'll follow a recipe, unlike me, who will sort of say, I think a little of this might go well. But don't you think part of it is just throwing yourself into it?
Absolutely. And I'm more like you. I mean, in the beginning, I'll admit, I definitely would stick to the recipe, you know. But I remember one time I was making this noodle dish, and the recipe was like a Ming Tsai recipe, and it called for like a quarter cup of white peppercorns. And it definitely, looking back, meant a quarter teaspoon, but it was a typo.
Wow.
But I went ahead and used the quarter cup of white pepper in this one noodle dish. I'll never forget how that tasted, and that's what kind of made me realize, I'm like, you don't always to blindly trust the recipe. Just roll with it. You know, it's not baking. You got the way. And yeah, with pho, that's great because you've got, you know, there's so many elements to that, because you have the broth. That's like a couple days you can spend making that.
Absolutely.
And you can alter it, and it's pretty forgiving, you know, as long as you have a few basics down. I mean, most Vietnamese restaurants, they bring the same broth up every day. They add bones to it, meat to it, keep bringing it back to a boil. Like, literally, they'll go for years using the same broth that keeps getting reboiled every day and more complex.
Well, one of the things I love about the way that works with the broth is that even if you go to a local Vietnamese restaurant that changes it every week, just go on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. That's when it's the best.
You know, you mentioned baking, and I always think that that's one of the things that so many people are afraid of. And as you pointed out, the recipes there are usually very specific, and it's more practice than it is genius.
Yeah, baking is definitely, it's more practice, and baking more importantly than cooking or than savory is more about having the right equipment. Having the right, you know, like a Silpat, you know, baking pans,
right.
KitchenAid mixer. I mean, those things are going to save you a lot of time over doing it the old way. Whereas with, you know, with regular, you know, making regular dinners, you could pretty much have like a metal spoon and a pan. You can pretty much make it work if you know what you're doing, you know?
Right. Well, and one of the questions I was going to ask you is it when you, if you think of some of the more famous European cuisines, French, Italian, Spanish,
mm-hmm.
which one of those do you think people are most intimidated by that they shouldn't be intimidated by?
Oh, definitely French. I mean, that's because French has the air of pretentiousness to it. These sort of haute cuisine French, like the, you know, when really, like a lot of those big classics, you know, like cassoulet and coq au vin and beef bourguignon, like those are actually really peasant dishes that are very relaxing to make, you know, like pretty forgiving. You know, I think they see, a lot of times people will, for some reason, if they don't see the menu in English, they get intimidated to start.
Right.
But, yeah, I think everybody, you know, when they picture French food, they always picture that scene in, like, Ferris Bueller, you know, where he goes to that restaurant, and that's what everybody thinks it is, like minuscule carrots and, like, you know, petite little racks of lamb with a cloche on top by like seven waiters. And French cuisine definitely, I mean, it can be like that, but only about, you know, 5% of French people in the entire country actually eat that way.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned French, because I always think when I eat a great meal in France that I can come home and I can, and that between my wife and I, more my wife, we could recreate that if we want. She does make cassoulet and a lot of those things. Do you think also that one of the issues is that people think that they don't have that there are ingredients that you can't get?
I think they do, and I think that's all more prevalent with Asian cuisine. And really, I mean, in the fact that in Maine, I mean, in Portland alone, there's like 10 Asian markets. I mean, and that's, and Portland's a relatively small city in the scheme of things. I mean, that says, like, you can get all these things now. There's usually like a Latin bodega, you know, there's like, and what you can't get, you can always order. Most cookbooks now will usually have a glossary in the back for hard to find ingredients of like places you can order them from, even fresh ones. You know, they'll come back in packed. That's the beauty of the internet. I mean, maybe in the 80s and the find it, you basically were just stuck. You know, if you lived in podunk town, you pretty much have whatever's at the IGA to work with, you know. But these days, you can literally find anything in the world. You can find a beating cobra heart if you wanted.
We're talking with Joe Riccio here on Shut Up and Eat. Final question I wanted to ask you, Joe, is there a cookbook or a cookbook writer who you think the person who's aspiring to be better and maybe has a little skill should look at? I mean, I know I think we own every book Bittman owns in our house, tilts towards the front, but is there one you'd think is a really a good source?
Okay, so there's three basically. The one that's good to have just all around if you're starting out is The Best Recipe that's put out by Cooks Illustrated.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like the big Bible of literally like all the basic foods, all the, like the everything from pancakes to, you know, Asian noodle soups to, you know, roasts. It's all in there. And Cooks Illustrated is awesome. You should have a subscription to it anyway, because they tirelessly, you know, they're in the kitchen making it like 50 ways, and they publish the one that works the best, you know, and it's like, they put it in really easy to follow terms. So I love that. I also really like, as far as when I was getting started, I really liked Alton Brown. That was back before Food Network. Food Network's pretty played out now.
Yeah.
But back then, like Good Eats, you know, you could really learn a lot about why you're doing things, not just reading the recipes. And the last one I would say, just to kind of mix things up a little bit, it never hurts. I get the Chanterelle, the restaurant that has actually closed in New York, the iconic restaurant. They do a book called Staff Meals. And this is before also it was like totally, you know, everybody knew what restaurant staff meals were. But it's like this high-end restaurant, this guy publishing all these amazing comfort food recipes. And it's indispensable. I mean, there's like, I still make half of that book, you know, consistently. It's awesome.
Well, that's great. Joe, thank you very much. I always enjoy this. And Waning's right. We need to all get together and have dinner sometime.
Anytime. I'm around.
All righty. Thanks a lot. That's no Joe Riccio on Shut Up and Eat, and is one of our favorite, really for me, it's one of my favorite things of the week.